All right. Well, good morning, everybody. If you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 15 through 20. And last week, we began talking about the humanity of Jesus and things we can learn from Jesus' humanity. We usually don't have a problem thinking about Jesus being God, and he was, but he was also fully human. And the Bible makes that clear in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. It says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Last week we talked about the fact that Jesus was completely divine, but he was always also completely human. We talked about the fact that Jesus hungered like we did, that he thirsted like we did, he needed clothes, he slept, he needed comfort. He was a complete human being. And what we want to look through over the next few weeks are things that we can learn from the fact that Jesus was human. Now, I'm going to start this off with a little bit of a disclaimer. And the disclaimer of today's sermon is this, is that whenever I preach this sermon, this is the only sermon that I've ever gotten phone calls back from. It's the only sermon that I've ever gotten parents when I was a youth pastor that were a little bit upset. And what we're going to talk today about is about the heritage and the ethnicity of Jesus. The heritage and the ethnicity of Jesus and what that has to mean and what that has to do with our lives. Jesus, of course, transcends every race because he's God. And as God, he's creator of every race, he's creator of every people, he's the creator of all people. As God, he died on the cross for all people, for all human beings. But Jesus transcends race a lot of different ways in his humanity. You know, right now, the entire population of the world is 7.4 billion people. 7.4 billion. But of course, it wasn't always this way. As a matter of fact, in 1804, that was the first time that scientists estimate that the Earth reached the population of around 1 billion people. The Earth is expected to increase the number of 1 billion in population every 13 years from now on, so that in 13 years, it'll be 8 billion. In 13 more years, it'll be 9. In 13 more years, it'll be 10. But the Earth wasn't always this way. It's estimated around 1650, the total population of everybody on the Earth was about 500 million people. And in about the year 10,000 on Earth, there was only 275 million people, which is about 100 million less than the current population of the United States. So we're living really in this boom of population, but the Earth wasn't always this way. In 1999, there was a Yale statistician named Joseph Chang. And Joseph Chang decided that he was going to write a paper on people's ancestry. You know, and I don't know if you've ever delved into your ancestry, but I've dug into mine a little bit. I've talked to my grandparents and asked them about their grandparents and their great-grandparents. And I was able to go to Ancestry.com and figure out that around 1650, 1660, there was a Johannes Baumann in Germany who left Germany to come to the United States, that there was his son, Bowman, was the first to settle the Shenandoah Valley, that I have ancestors who settled Camden, Arkansas, which I found that out when I went to Camden, so I used that to kind of get some pool in that town. Not really, didn't have any pool whatsoever, but we've started Camden, Arkansas. Then the reason I found that out was because I was tracking down an ancestor who actually fought and died in the Alamo, and so I got interested in my family history. But in 1999, the statistician named Joseph Chang from Yale, he wrote a paper talking about the ancestry of all human beings. And what he found out was is that, you know, we don't have necessarily a never-ending human tree or never-ending family tree. But what we have is we have sort of like a family web that crisscrosses with maybe a cousin married a third cousin, or maybe a cousin married a 20th cousin, and it kind of crisscrosses all the way back. And here's what he found out by doing that is, if you go back just a few years to about the year 800, that is a few years in the history of mankind, but if you go back to the year 800, that all people that are alive today, every single one of us is related. You know, that we all are descendants of the Emperor Charlemagne. And if you go back a little bit further than that, what you'll find out is that we're all related to the Egyptian queen Nefertiti. And if you go back further in that, you'll find that we're all related to all these famous people throughout history. Why? Well, in 2013, geneticists discovered by studying mitochondrial DNA. You all know you have DNA, but what you might not know is that in the molar of your tooth is stored, if you still have the molars in your teeth, mine are crowns now, but in the molars of your tooth, there is stored mitochondrial DNA. And in your mitochondrial DNA, they can actually take that, analyze that, unwrap that, and find out who your even more ancient ancestors are. And scientists writing a paper in 2013 discovered that we are all related to a mitochondrial Adam and to a mitochondrial Eve. They don't want to just call them biblical Adam and Eve because that might ruin their worldview a little bit. But we're all related to one man and one woman that were alive about 135,000 years ago. One man and one woman. Biblically, we all know that God created Adam and Eve, and through Adam and Eve, everybody on the earth is a descendant. And so Jesus transcends race, and for no other reason, the Bible teaches us that everybody is a cousin. So now I can say for real, oh, I know him, he's my cousin. Even if I met him the first time, I know you, you're my cousin. Even if I met you for the first time, because somewhere along the way, we are. You know, the Bible also makes clear that Jesus was Jewish. Jesus was born a Jew. Now, what ethnicity and what type of person was a Jew? And if you track with me here, I promise this is going somewhere. Well, first off, the Bible talks about Abraham, that Abraham was called by God. And no, Abraham wasn't a white guy. Abraham, according to the Bible, was a Mesopotamian who came from the land of Ur. Scholars, biblical scholars, think he was either an Amorite or an Aramean. But what's clear is that Abraham was somebody who was an Arabic guy. He was an Arabian who grew up in what is modern-day Iraq. But Abraham, after he moves his family, he moves into Canaan, they begin to marry some of the people in Canaan. Jacob's son Judah marries a Canaanite woman. Joseph later on is sent to Egypt, and he marries an Egyptian woman. And so the Bible is filled of these interracial, interrelated marriages in between people. And again, all these groups, the Egyptian group that Joseph married, the Canaanite women that Abraham and his descendants married, they all would have looked Arabic a whole lot more than they would have looked white. But later on down, when you get to the people of Israel, if you study the Bible, the nation of Israel wasn't really a nation until Mount Sinai, until God came down and brought them the Ten Commandments and said that if you follow these, I will be your God and you will be my people, and I will dwell in your midst. And if you read the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy, it's the same thing. Follow these commandments, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will live and I will dwell in your midst. And so the nation of Israel, the people of Israel that we call the Jews, didn't really become the Jews until Mount Sinai. So what kind of people were at Mount Sinai? Well, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, we read that with the Jewish people, there was a mixed multitude. There was a mixed multitude that left Egypt with the Jews. And if you know anything about Egypt back then and how their state worked was, it was pretty simple. They went and they conquered you, and when they went and they conquered you, they brought you back to Egypt as slave labor. And we know for a fact, just from archaeology, that Egypt had contact with the island of Crete. Egypt had contact with the far regions of Greece, so we know there were some European slaves in Egypt. We know that Egypt had contact with countries further south of them, the Cushites, who were black Africans. We know that they were black African slaves in Egypt. We know that Egypt conquered the Persians and conquered the Babylonians or fought wars with them, and they would have taken them back to Egypt. So we know that there were Arabs in Egypt. So whenever you imagine the people of God, the Jews, leaving Egypt, there was a mixed multitude. There were people that saw the plagues that were slaves just like the Jews, from every race, from every nationality, that left and went with the descendants of Abraham to Mount Sinai. And it was only at Mount Sinai where those people became the Jewish people. And so when you imagine Mount Sinai, it wasn't just what we would consider to be Jews worshiping there, but there were Africans worshiping there. There were Europeans worshiping there. There were Arabs worshiping there. All together, worshiping God. And it was only then that they became one people. And yes, they all intermarried. The Africans intermarried with the Europeans. The Europeans intermarried with the Arabs. The Arabs intermarried with the Africans, and so on and so forth. And what I'm trying to get across to you is that Jesus Christ was a man descendant from interracial marriages. Jesus Christ was a man descendant from a mixed race. And one of the things that I want to preach today is that we need to be comfortable. There is nothing unbiblical about interracial and mixed race relationships. Not a single thing. You know, when I grew up, I spent some time in the island of Barbados, St. Lucia. We were missionaries over there. And I was over there from about the age of 13 to 15, which was kind of cool because there weren't a whole lot of people around to hear my voice be like, hey, hey, mom and dad, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. I kind of went through that just on my own. So only my sisters made fun of me, I guess. But I remember being age 13 to 15, you know, I was the only white kid in my school. My nickname was White Boy because I was the only one. Okay, and I remember getting to the age where I finally started not just seeing girls, but really kind of noticing girls, you know? And I remember one time when I had my parents sort of trapped, we were in a car on a trip together, I asked them, you know, Mom and Dad, what do you think if I was to date a Caribbean girl? And I'll never forget what my mom told me. She told me that she said, I don't care if you date a purple girl. As long as she's a Christian, as long as she's a believer in Jesus Christ, it really doesn't matter. I hear people say a lot that the Bible says that we're not supposed to mix the races or have interracial marriages, and there are some commands like that for the Israelites. If you turn to Ezra chapter 9, verses 11 through 13, the prophet commands them that the land you're entering to possess is a land polluted by the corruption of its peoples. By their detestable practices, they have filled it with their impurity from one end to the other. Therefore, and hear that, therefore, for this reason, do not give your daughters in marriage to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. Do not seek a treaty of friendship with them at any time, that you may be strong and eat the good things of the land and leave it to your children as an everlasting inheritance. Now, is God a racist for saying that? No. Because if you read it in the Bible, it doesn't have anything to do with race. It says, because of their behavior, you stay away from them. And if you don't know, like, it was traditional Canaanite practice to kill babies, to put them in jars, and to bury them into the floor, and to bury them in the walls of your house so that your house will be blessed. Now, if we found somebody around town that was taking babies and putting them in jars in their house, we probably wouldn't want our son or daughter to marry that person. Because that's immoral. Some people call it abortion, but it's immoral. You're killing a human being. And we wouldn't want somebody to be involved with that person. And so what God is saying here isn't a racial thing. It's a theological thing. And the New Testament says the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Because I hear this a lot when you're talking about interracial marriages. Somebody will say, well, but the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. Well, it does. But what does the verse say? It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Nothing about race, but unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? You know, youth and young people, you're going to find this hard to believe, but everybody in this room at one point was young and extremely good looking, all right? And everybody in this room at one point was, I know I still am, okay? But everybody in this room at one point was young, extremely good looking, and had options, all right? And you're like, my mom and dad couldn't. No, they were, okay? You're not any different than any other human being that's ever lived. Get over yourself. You'll love life a whole lot better when you get over yourself, okay? So everybody else in this room was young and extremely good-looking and had options. You know what? When I was in high school, there were a couple girls that liked me and a couple girls that kind of pursued me. I'm sorry, wife, I didn't know you then or else we would have been married, okay? So it's okay. All right, so, but there were a couple of girls that liked me and pursued me, and they weren't believers. Now, I knew in my flesh that if I wanted to, I could go on dates with these girls, no problem. But see, the Bible commanded me, as a Christian young man, that I'm not supposed to date somebody who's not a Christian. They're not even supposed to be on my list. Like, and I'm not talking about if they go to church. There's plenty of people that go to church. They're not saved. A lot of young people are in church this morning. You probably are because your mom and your daddy made you. You don't want to be here. No, I wanted to be with somebody who loved Jesus Christ. You know, one of the greatest gifts I have, now you're smile about this maybe, is being married to Jessica. Because when I met Jessica, she was in love with Jesus Christ. She loves Jesus a whole lot more than she's ever going to love me. You know, when I met Jessica too, if you don't know, Jessica grew up in Nigeria. Of course, our first date, I think I talked about how awesome things were in Kenya because I pay really close attention to other people's stories. But anyway, so she grew up in Nigeria. And so I remember about our second date or something like that, we were in a bookstore in a Barnes & Noble. And they have all these different sections. And because she grew up in Nigeria, was born and raised there, she thought it was funny from time to time to refer to herself as being African-American, because technically she is. All right? She's African, and she's an American. All right, but we're on about our second date in a bookstore, and there's an African-American section. She looks over there and says, ha-ha, that's my section. Well, there are two black guys standing there when she says this, and I remember thinking, I'm going to get beat up on a second date with this girl I don't even know because she is trying to be funny right now, you know? But I liked it. I did like it. All right, it was funny. Well, I took this and I decided that I was going to use this as my joke, okay? Because that's what I do. I steal jokes from other people and I repeat them. It's smart. So what I did was I went to my family, and it was probably around Thanksgiving or something. I don't know. It was a big event that year. Now, my family gets together. There's just a bunch of us. We all descend on my grandparents' house back in the day. And so they would ask me, you know, because I was 25, 26, hey, are you dating somebody? Man, I got so tired of hearing that. Some of y'all may be there, but I got asked all the time, are you dating somebody? So finally, you know, at this event, I'd say, yeah, I'm dating an African American. You know, and some of my cousins were like, okay, that's cool, you know, whatever, whatever you feel like doing. But I remember when I told my grandmother, Jonathan, tell me about this girl you're dating. I said, jokingly, I'm dating an African-American. And my grandma's eyes raised up a little bit, you know. Well, I'm sure she's sweet, you know, or something like that. But I could tell that she wasn't necessarily comfortable with it. Well, you know, later on they met her, and of course she's extremely blonde and almost albino. So, you know, they met Jessica, and it was all smoothed over. But again, it was interesting to me to see their reactions. You know, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers chapter 12 and study a reaction that Moses' family had to him, that Moses' family had to him and to his marriage. Numbers chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because, listen to this, because of the Cushite woman who he had married. All right? And a Cushite was a black person. Moses would have been an Arab person. For, and the Bible repeats it, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, Moses and Aaron, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? In other words, Moses, you're not the only prophet. We know what's right and wrong too. Okay? So we're perfectly okay to speak out against you marrying a black lady. And it says, and the Lord heard it. Which that's kind of funny because he hears everything. But the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek. Listen to this. More than all people who are on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. Now, you think it's bad when your parents use your first and middle name. Okay, imagine God saying, you three, come out of here. You're about to be in trouble. It says, all three of them came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forward, and he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And when the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, her skin made white like snow. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that there's a little bit of irony that Miriam was complaining about Moses marrying a black lady, and God says, okay, I'm going to change the color of your skin? There's no doubt that God made the punishment fit the crime. And listen, I remember as a youth pastor, one time when I preached this, I got phone calls from parents. Did you tell my daughter that they could date a black boy? Did you tell my daughter that they could date a Latino guy? I remember one time I said, no, ma'am. I told your daughter that they could date a Christian. And it doesn't matter what color they are. They could date a Christian. And let me tell you, thinking about my daughter, I don't care what race of guy she dates. I care that she dates and grows up and she marries a Christian man who loves Jesus Christ. And it is so pitiful and unbiblical and sinful that people want their daughter just to date a good old boy as long as he isn't black. Or just to date a good old boy. Look, I don't want my daughter to grow up and marry some good old boy. I want her to grow up and to marry somebody who believes in and who loves Jesus Christ. Good old boys die and go to hell. Christians know Jesus. And the family is to raise up future generations that will follow Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation that just as all these ethnicities, all these nations came together and worshiped at Mount Sinai, that there will be a time where people from every nation, tribe, and tongue and language stand before the throne of Jesus Christ. And they will worship together. The Bible says with a loud roaring voice that salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You know, when I was 20, I got to do a lot of traveling when I was younger. God just made it that way. When I was 20, I got to go with my college choir to China. And if you don't know, we went to the city of Shanghai, and there's 42 million people that live in the city of Shanghai. And there's three churches. And they're all watched by the state. There's one church that's not watched by the state, but you have to have a passport to get into. And it was the International Chinese Church. And I remember there one night around Christmas time that I got to sing in this church with people from Japan, with people from Korea. Their pastors were from Africa and Ireland. And we got to all stand and sing together and worship Jesus Christ. One of the best nights of worship that I've ever had in my life. Because I thought, man, this is just what heaven is going to be like. And I tell you what, I'm so proud that in our church family that we have interracial families. You know, my oldest sister, who was here last Sunday, her and her husband, they can't have any more kids. You know, they have Bradley, and they're just not able to. They're not able to have any more children. I don't know exactly why. That's their business. But they've looked several times at adopting. You know, one way they've looked at adopting, there's no doubt that they've looked at adopting people of different races. And you know something? I don't care. It doesn't make a difference to my family's life. I just want them to get a kid that they get to love, that grows up and hopefully follows Jesus Christ. My younger sister, Ashley, they're living in Missouri now. Her husband's in the Air Force, and they've been all around, you know, how the military life goes. But they're looking at adopting right now, and they will pretty soon, and it might be somebody who is not white. That's fine. Because I don't care what color that little boy or that little girl is. I want them to grow up in a family that loves Jesus Christ and that loves them. You know, and I'm going to have to put some jokes back aside. I mean, my mother's maiden name is White, so I always talk about how we're going to have our white family Christmas, you know. I probably can't say that anymore, but that's okay. I want to have a family that together, it's all about Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but there's still some tension there. I mean, would you agree with me that there's still some racial tension in our world? That's sin. And one of the saddest parts about that is that the church in the South was on the backside of that movement instead of on the front side leading the way. And we let these other people step in and lead the way. We should have been right there all along. All along. I got told yesterday I took my kids to a park, and I got told yesterday that the park I took them to over on 81 over here across from the church, a couple of African-American churches over there, that I got told later on that people refer to that as the black park, and then there's another park over here, and that's the white park. I don't know if I haven't heard anybody else say that, but I'm guessing that's true because you've lived here your whole life. Look, I don't care. I'm going to take my kids to the black park. Okay, why? Because it's a park. There's no white park and black park. It's a park. And we're all related anyway. And if you really believe the Bible, you believe that. We all come from Adam and Eve, and we're all related, and it does not matter. And I want our church to stand up for Jesus Christ in this community and in this city and encourage people. We don't care about the race in your marriage. We care about you have two Christians together in your marriage. Let's pray. Dear God, I know that we all have different areas where we say things, think things. Division is from Satan. We know that unity comes from you. You died on the cross for everybody, for every race. Your gospel is for everybody, for every race. And the only thing your word says about marriage is that we should want to marry other believers. And God, help us to get over the stuff, the sinfulness that's not from you. Help us to see people how you do. And God, we just want to love and praise you. In your name I pray. Amen. This time, if you would, please stand. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that today. Do that today. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, but you're not walking with him, make a commitment to walk with him today. If you have racism in your heart, repent of that today. Repent of it today and love people how God loves people.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
All right, and I didn't mention this. It was on my head while we were singing, my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. But when you see Jesus, he's going to look like a first century Jew, which means he's going to look more Arab than like you or me, you know? But it's also not going to matter. It's just not going to matter because we'll be with him. Okay, well, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. So, all right, men's breakfast next Sunday morning. We have our deacons meeting after the men's breakfast, so we just started doing that. It's easier and it gets more guys there. So there you go. So men's breakfast, we'll have our deacons meeting after that. And then also next week is Harvest America. Go to serve.harvest.org and sign up to do that. Just to get to pray with somebody who wants to receive Jesus. It could change your life. It will change your life and it will change theirs forever. So praise God.